Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Laura Canfield Show. And I'm so excited to have my good friend Lori Spagna here with us. So thank you so much, everyone, for being here, first of all, and for joining us today. Lori and I, you know, as most of you know, we've been doing these shows for a while together. So I always love having her with us. So much fun, so much wisdom, so much. I find that Lori tends to deliver a lot in a call, so be prepared for that. You might want to take notes. She always has a lot of wisdom, and which is always awesome and cool. Oh, she over delivers. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but I'm just letting you know she over delivers. I'm looking forward to what we're going to talk about today. And even though, like, you know, in the email I said we're talking about, you know, your DNA, we're talking about your, what else, that your star code markings and your star family races, we're going to talk about more than that. We always talk about more than that. That's just the beginning, right? That's just a place to start. But we always talk about more. So for those of you who don't know Lori, in case it's the first time that you're getting introduced to her, Lori is a best-selling author, a speaker, a spiritual teacher, an ascension guide, a multidimensional channel, intuitive, animal communicator, an energy healer, light worker, visionary, and luminary who assists others to awaken to their alignment with the true divine source, which exists within each and every being, so that all beings can live their best life ever. And, you know, I should add to that, Lori is a good friend of mine, and sometimes, you know, so we always love to connect and reconnect. But we also, you know, we don't just connect on the show. We tend to connect off show as well, right? And so I always value Lori's advice, Lori's points of view, and, you know, there's, she always brings something to me and to you, the listeners, something new and something fresh and something, a totally different perspective. I always learn something new. So I'm so excited that we're going to be talking about not just, you know, DNA, star code markings and your star family races, but we're also going to be talking about whatever it is that you want to talk about. So whatever, we will be taking some live Q&A. So that also brings up new conversations, and we never know where that's going to go. So Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alara.
Yay.
I'm super excited to be here. I have to say, I have been looking forward to our call because, I mean, first of all, I really do love connecting with you. And I always say it, you're just such an amazing host. I find you to be so easy to work with. I find you to be so enjoyable. So, and I love our conversations, and I love the casualness of our dialogue, because I believe that, in my opinion, a lot of the spiritual stuff is treated so much like it belongs to some and not others. And also a lot of times it's treated like, I don't know, I just, it's, it still has so much of that guru mentality. And I find that old paradigm and not interesting. So I like our casualness, because a huge part of the work that I do is really about helping everyone see how we all have it and it's within us all. That doesn't mean to take it for granted or to treat it without respect and honor and gratitude and reverence. It just means, I think that's one of the things that's really nice, is just the casual way we get to really see it as everyday life. So I love our conversations because it's that it's fun, it's playful, and it's,
thank you, me too. And, you know, it's not serious, and it's not something outside of ourselves or something that we can't reach, you know, far out there for everybody else and not us. No, this is all within us. And the teachings and the wisdom that you bring forth based on the conversation that we have is always something practical and pragmatic, right, that we can use in our day-to-day lives. And, you know, sometimes it's curious and interesting, like, you know, when you talk about the star codes and DNA markings and things like that, that's interesting. But then how do we use that and integrate that into our day-to-day lives? How do we use that to move forward on our path or just have, you know, open up more new ways of thinking and new ways of being, right?
Yeah. Well, and that is what I love, because to me, a lot of the stuff, it's still so esoteric. I don't think that people really, especially people who aren't as into this kind of, you know, esoteric spiritual woo-woo stuff, they don't really understand how much it helps all areas of our lives, how much it transforms our lives and the way we live and the way we experience life. And I think that's one of the things I like so much, because I have access to these unknown realms that are so really out there. And yet I feel like that's one of my gifts, is that I can take it and translate it in ways that make sense to our everyday living and the way we live, and help us to apply it so that we have lives. So for ourselves and our animals too.
And, you know, for some of you, this may be new, talking about star races and star families and like, what do you mean? Because, I mean, you know, if you would have 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago now, time goes by so fast, it's hard to know. I didn't know anything about star families. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about the Pleiadians or the Sirians or the Andromeda. Like, I had no idea, no clue, until somebody said to me in a psychic reading, oh, there's two Pleiadians here watching you. It's like, what does that mean? You know, but that was about 15, maybe 20 years ago now, right? It's I lose track of time. But so this may be something brand new for you. And so if it is, just be open to it, right? Just be open to it and just take what resonates with you right now, and whatever doesn't, say, all right, maybe later, you know? Mm. Right?
Yeah, because I mean, I think the thing is we're just on such an expedient path of, in our evolutionary journey right now, that though for those of us who are ready to expand our consciousness and who are open, you know, ready, willing, and able, this is one of those times where we really can move so far beyond everything we've known or believed to be true. And it does require, the hardest, I think, obstacle is for us to get over our own disbelief, mm-hmm. our own doubt, you know, our own parts of us that have been so wired, trained, programmed, and brainwashed mm-hmm. to think that this stuff is ridiculous.
Oh, that's not real.
That's the right. That's the hardest part. And the other big jump of it is, it's one thing to learn about it. It's another thing to start doing the inner transformation, working with energy and consciousness within ourselves to experience it. And then when you experience it personally, you're no longer doing what we call spiritual bypassing. Mm-hmm. Spiritual bypassing is when we sort of learn about it through our left brain. We use our analytical brain to decide if it's true or analyze, but we never really do the application of the inner work. And that's the challenge part, because it's not easy. That part's not easy. But that even with the vast majority of humanity, they're still coming at this kind of work like a take a pill. Give me a pill, give me an activation, give me a healing, give me a clearing, and make it all better in 10 seconds. And that doesn't really work. I mean, it'll work to the degree that it's possible, but it will not resolve it all in 10 seconds. You'll still have to go to some other layer or level or aspect, and ultimately, yeah, it's a process.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because believe it or not, I was thinking this earlier. And so for everybody, you know, please forgive me, but I have to say this. It's like, part of me is like, I was a little bit, I had a show yesterday, right? A live show yesterday with Maria Martinez. I couldn't do it on Tuesday because I was really not well. So I did it yesterday, which was fine. But if you come on and you write in the chat box something with really heavy, angry, frustrated energy with lots of punctuation marks and so on and so forth, yeah, I'm not going to ask that question, because you're not in the energy and space of actually receiving, you know, or even getting the message that anybody is going to give to you. So if you are, you know, the person that was back that yesterday, I'm sorry, but I still get to choose whose questions I answer and pick up. Okay. So, and no, you know, so please be kind. This is a free call. All right. A free call. We're both here. Lori and I are being of service freely, you know, there's no expectations. So please be kind to us too, that when you are writing into the chat box or to me personally, or if you have a question, please be kind. All right. So, cause I'm not going to.
I am so sorry if somebody wasn't very kind to you yesterday, Alara, because I don't know what it is, but people don't realize as we do this work, we become more and more sensitive, and we also become less and less tolerant. So
they were frustrated. I, you know, I get it. Just one second. I'll just say they were frustrated because of how their life is going and what they're experiencing and things not working out and so on and so forth. I get that. But you're not going to get a quick fix in 10 seconds. You know, if that's what you're expecting, I'm sorry. I apologize ahead of time. You know, that we can't solve all your problems in a 10-second question answer.
Yeah. Well, that's a form of spiritual bypassing too, because the way the transformation takes place is you actually have to do the work and you actually have to be committed to it. And I mean, you have to really stick with it. I have a one-on-one client I was talking with today, and she was really noticing a lot of her progress that she had made. And I was just so happy for her. When you really come out the other side of a shadow thing that you've worked on, that's really, you know, excruciating pain, where we face our own darkest parts of ourselves, a part of us that feels unlovable or unworthy or uncared for or whatever it is. And you go through the pain of it with the intention of clearing it. But it's not like, you know, it's like sometimes you get a cold, a virus, and after a week you feel better, you know? Okay, well, there's aspects of that in this work. And, you know, when you come out the other side, it is a celebration, but it's not a pill. So the point that I was going to make was that in this case, I'm acknowledging private session work people who do weekly work and are dedicated to their journey, and people who are, you know, leading telesummits and doing the spiritual work, spiritual teachers and healers and channelers who are doing that work. That's, we become very sensitive. And we're dedicating ourselves to this work. We know that it doesn't get done overnight. And so, you know, we put these calls together because we want to be of service. But at the same time, we know it's a free call. If you just want to do a spiritual bypassing and just take what you can get and then think you can take energy, sort of leave, and then not really do the inner work, you can only get whatever you can get, you know. Mm-hmm. This is deep work we're talking about, and it requires, not for the faint of heart. It's not for people who just want to go and manifest their Rolls Royce. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
And it doesn't always happen that easily either. People don't see all the work that they did beforehand, before they actually manifested that Rolls Royce.
Anything wrong with manifesting a Rolls Royce.
No, exactly.
It's not just about the, you know, cotton candy. You know, it's a lot more than that we're talking about here. So,
but you know,
when we talk about things like star code markings and accessing your DNA, it's because we've gone so deep. We have done so much inner work that now we're getting to stuff that's completely unknown to humanity. It's unknown, star code markings. Well, I didn't even know what that was, even 3 years. And I've been doing DNA activations for 15 years now for people in 12 or 15 or whatever it is. Yeah, you lose track of time, but I know it was when I, you know, was in Maui, I started doing them. So for myself first. So look, this stuff that we're going to get into today is so out there, but the reason we're able to communicate it, talk about it, and translate is because of years of inner work. And it's not just surface level stuff. If you just want surface level stuff, and you know, that's like, to me, yeah, you want to know your angels. I love that stuff too. You want to know your angels? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I personally have moved way past that. And I still love angels. They still show up. They show up at all my channeling sessions. They show up at all the activations, all the group calls. I love them, but it's a little 101 for me. Yeah. No, not, I'm not making that wrong. I'm interested in stuff that's really out there.
And you know,
I like the unknown.
With the star code markings and just, you know, opening up our consciousness to even acknowledge that there is more beyond this planet, right? Number one, there's more beyond this planet. And not just that we are multidimensional beings. So we are also existing on other planets, other dimensions, other realities at the same time. And when you can connect into that, so Lori doesn't know this because I haven't told her yet, but I recently connected to another aspect of myself. I don't like to say greater, but another aspect of myself, right? And before I did that, I did not even know it existed. I didn't know she existed. Is it a she or an it or he or that, you know, doesn't matter, right? But you know, part of my Oversoul collective, and it's like, I didn't even know what that meant. I'll be honest, when I first experienced it, it's like, I don't even know what an Oversoul is. I should know. I'd heard about it, but I hadn't really done any really deep research until I started. And it's like, oh, you know, so, but it's a progression, right?
Yeah. There is a progressive kind of nature to it, even though it's nonlinear.
Yeah, yes. It's progressive and nonlinear, but it just means that we are opening up our consciousness to more and more and more. That's the progression yes. that I'm talking about, right? Yes. And so this conversation today might be, for some of you, 101, and some for some of you, it might be like, you know.
I doubt it's going to be 101 for anybody.
I know, right?
I doubt that.
I know, but just in case.
Because I tell you, one thing I've really come to realize is like, most of the stuff that I think I share, sometimes I'm sharing too advanced. People aren't even ready for some of it. Some of it I have to reel it in because it's just.
Well, today you don't have to reel it in. Just bring it.
All right. Well, let's see. So where are we going to get? Where did we start?
So, yeah. So I wanted to start off by talking about, you know, what are star code markings and how do we know what they are and how do they show up in our DNA? And are these markings, okay, here's this interesting question. Are these markings, can they actually be on your physical body too? I know it's really weird.
Okay, well, there's markings on the physical body, but uh-oh. When we talk about star code markings, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, if I were to show you a part of my leg right here, you'd see this. There's, I don't know if you can see it. I hope I can do this in a professional way. But there's an arrow here. It's like two arrows. It's a little hard to see. Yeah. And I always used to wonder about it. Like, even growing up, it's so weird. It literally looks like a 3 o'clock mark with two triangles on the other end. And it wasn't until years later, like even after Maui, when I discovered that that's a kind of star code marking. But that's not the kind of star code, you know, because there are very distinct markings on the body that yeah. star seeds will have that are just.
So, yeah, so I have something here on my, of course I can't see it now, but on my chest, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, it just looks like a constellation of some sort. You know what I'm saying?
Right, they usually look like something related to, not always, yeah. but either something in the shamanistic kingdom or some kind of pattern of sacred geometry or some kind of constellation star type of thing.
Because it's not a scar. I wasn't hurt. It's just these.
And you actually, if you know, if you're really connected to it, some part of you like kind of loves it because you know it's so unique about you, right? Well, star code markings though that I'm speaking about are specifically in the DNA. Mm-hmm. And you really can't even access these star code markings unless you really have, from what I can understand, done the depth of getting through the first initial strands of DNA. They're not even in the first initial strands after the first two.
Right.
So maybe a good place to start would be with the DNA. But right before we go there, I just want to say, this is something I know. All of humanity has been programmed and trained to conformity. Mm-hmm. And in fact, every religion, every world religion, to some degree or another, usually to a great degree, teaches conformity. And they not only every religion teaches conformity, just about every religion through conformity teaches a form of mediocrity. So some people who are religion-based might not agree with that, but it really is true. It's teaching conformity and mediocrity. And what I've learned as a, you know, just as a philosopher, you know, as a human being who teaches and, you know, Sagittarian nature, is that deep within every human being is a quest, a desire so deep that is unfulfilled, that wants, that is craving, starving for some kind of uniqueness. And yes, there's nothing wrong with conformity because we need that too to a certain degree. I mean, we do need some form of conformity to fit in, to belong, to be included, etc. But we need so badly the uniqueness that we've been desperately hungering, thirsting for, and that has been so deprived from humanity in our programming, because again, religion, school, it's all teaching conformity, especially religion. And the thing that's amazing about star code markings is, you know, our uniqueness can be found in a thumbprint. Well, you also have star code markings very deep embedded in your DNA that is unique to you as a thumbprint is to you. But this is so much more than a thumbprint, because a thumbprint or a fingerprint is, well, what is it? Nothing more than a thumbprint. I mean, okay, if you give it to some authority figure, they'll be able to know who you are. If you die and they need to figure out who you are, okay, that is amazing and wonderful in and of itself. If you work with a palm analyst, they can tell you a lot about who you are based on that. But really, in your everyday life, it matters not much, you know? Mm-hmm. But your unique star code markings, it matters a lot. It matters so much, because when you access that point of your unique markings, the part of you that is buried so deep, that's been longing to matter, that made us physical matter. But it's non-matter. It's not non-matter. It's non-physical, but it is physical. It's where you realize how much you matter. But even beyond that, it's where you come into alignment with that part of you that just really, so wholly and completely, absolutely loves and adores yourself. And it's not even like this kind of egoic need for self-love, because it's way beyond that. It's like where you realize, I don't know, how truly wonderful, fabulous, fantastic you are, and you integrate it into your human self. It's where you start saying things like, wow, I've become the person I always dreamed that I could be. I've become that person. Now what am I going to, you know, like, now what am I going to do with all this brilliance, all this magnificence, all this fabulousness, right? It's that kind of thing. So those are the star code markings are, I mean, those are unique to us. There's also star code markings that are unique to our soul lineage, our soul family. There are star code markings that belong to the collective, sub-collectives and collectives. So there's just so many different kinds of markings in there, and they're stored in the DNA, and they're way beyond the first few strands. Because mm-hmm. your first few strands are where you start accessing higher consciousness, and you start accessing, you know, yeah, of course, your psychic gifts, your intuitive gifts, your ability to communicate with animals, your ability to expand your consciousness into know different things, do different things, see and perceive things differently, have different kinds of awarenesses, of course, connect with angels and other benevolence in the non-physical realm, friends and family members who have crossed over. All that stuff exists in the first few strands, beyond the first two. And then at certain points you get to connect with, you know, universal laws, which are highly intelligent and highly conscious of themselves. And when you really start vibrating, connecting with them in harmony with them, you can start working directly with these laws to affect all of humanity for the greater good, of course, because otherwise you can't work with the laws until you're aligned with that core concept, only for the highest and best, with harm to none. But this is what's going on in the DNA. We haven't even begun to access it. Mm-hmm. And you understand, we have the first two strands of DNA. You know, those are just storing up records of our ancestors mm-hmm. that we took on. So if you have in your first two strands of DNA, let's say you have a belief. I won't even call it a belief. Let's say, you know when you're talking to a 3D person because they'll say something that runs in their that's genetic. They'll refer to it as genetic. Well, we have diabetes in our family. It's mm-hmm. genetic. We have breast cancer in our family. It's genetic. We're prone to addiction. That's especially a problem for us.
Right.
It's like that is a lie. It's not really true, but it's a belief system that's embedded and anchored into you in third dimensional consciousness. And when you believe it and you took it on from your lineage, even if you disbelieve it now, if you're hearing me right now and your left brain saying, well, I don't believe it. And a lot of left brains who are smart, we do that. It doesn't matter, because if it's been encoded in your DNA, you took it on as a belief system and it's anchored in your first two strands of DNA. So if your lineage is carrying any form of disease, that's the story that's written in to your genetics of the first two strands of your DNA, and those genetics in third dimensional consciousness you're stuck with. Even in fourth dimensional consciousness, you follow Bruce Lipton, who I love, you're learning, I can either turn it on or turn it off. It can be dormant or active, but it's still there. When you get really well anchored into 5D, that's when you start to know, no, I can change it. And I can clear it out. I don't even have to have that record. And you can make the connection, if you know the Akashic records, you can make the connection to the Akashic records and you can be like, oh, it's stored there. But I can transmute it. I can clear it out here. I can clear it out there. I can affect it through all my bloodlines, my ancestors, clear it out there too. Now I can return it all to source. So effectively, there's a record, but there's no record. There's an awareness, but there's no real physicality anymore. I've affected it through so many dimensions of reality that it no longer is residing in the DNA. Now, of course, if you really want a record of that, you can have your DNA tested, but we can talk about that too, because you know everybody wants your blood. Everybody wants your DNA. It's like literally free right now, DNA ancestry, practically free, because they need your DNA. Mm-hmm. I cannot recommend giving your DNA to anybody. But that is another story, another conversation. So you understand, this is how the DNA works. It's storing up the records of our ancestors and our history. The first two strands of DNA store a code of that. And in third dimensional consciousness, we refer to that as your genetics. In fifth dimensional consciousness, those of us who are working at this level, we start going in there very specifically to find what's not serving and to clear it out. Now, that's only the first two strands. So we also know there's at least 10 more strands that are storing up all of our greatest gifts and potentials and our ability to access at least 12 dimensions of consciousness, each strand corresponding to a dimension of consciousness. And yeah, it's really fun to learn about this through the left brain, but you cannot spiritual bypass this stuff because it just means nothing unless you actually start working with it and going in there. And when we get into the deeper layers and the more intricate aspects, that's when we start to uncover these star code markings that we've referred to. Make sense?
It does. Absolutely.
So much information all once, too fast.
No.
That's like a lot of stuff right there. Right there. That could be a whole course.
No, it is a lot of stuff. And that's the thing. It's like, it's really interesting that these markings, you know, they can be found in the DNA and we can delete them if we want. But what else? Like, so some of these ones for the star codes and the star races and the star families, those markings are in our DNA as well, right? Not just the genetic stuff about diabetes and cancer.
Yeah, those are just the first two strands. Your genetics and stuff is your first two strands of DNA.
So,
I mean, it's definitely, you can find out, you can absolutely find out who your star families are. You know, almost, in my opinion, every human, just like the United States, we're all a melting pot in the United States. So is true of our DNA. Our DNA has markings from every star race known to us and some unknown. However, most humans will immediately resonate when they start waking up with, you know, Palladians and Sirians, because they tend to be like our closest neighbors, you know, Palladians, the seven sisters, the seven stars, which is way more than seven stars, actually, but that's what we left brain, you know, that's what we know it as. And then the Sirius A, Sirius B constellation that are two side-by-side planets. Those of us who work with these planets, we know Sirius B is known as the dog star. It's not an accident that it's called the dog star. Dogs actually are gods in bodies from Sirius B. Whales and dolphins are also from the Sirius constellation. But that might sound foreign to a third dimensional consciousness person. What, she thinks whales are from another planet? You know, she's saying dolphins are from another planet. Like, what? This chick's crazy. But if you're in 5D, and if you've been listening to this, you start to realize, because somewhere within your DNA, you know, because you have Syrian DNA and you have Palladian DNA. And so when you start hearing this and you start vibing with it, that part of you that's really coming into alignment with those higher truths starts to just know it. You don't really question it anymore. You question it if you're still in 3D. It sounds wackadoodle. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but yeah, I mean, to go directly to your question, yes, I personally believe we all have all of it. It's like, why is everyone so afraid of reptilians? Because reptilians carry fear programming. And so, of course, when you think of reptilians, you would think fear. But like, I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I was on a phone call with her, and I have a friend who's, you know, really high vibe friend, really high consciousness. And we were having dinner at an expo once, and she was like, don't you ever think that there's any good reptilians. You better make sure you don't. And I was like, huh, that's interesting, her perspective on that. I'm not of that perspective at all. Because I remember, and this is what I was telling a friend a few nights ago on the phone, I was talking to her about this meditation that I once was in, this meditation with a friend of mine who's now crossed over. And he did a lot of kind of like ayahuasca and stuff. So meditating with him was really fun because mm-hmm. his brain and his consciousness had expanded into places. Not that I don't recommend ayahuasca necessarily at all. In fact, and I've never done it myself. However, meditating with him in partnership was really fun. So we got into this meditation and we were totally in that bliss zone, that ecstatic bliss, like, oh my God, this is just like euphoric, your mind altered state, right? And in this state, I kept having these reptilian beings coming in. And it was our intention at this time. This was like maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago. But I was back from Maui. I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And we were on the phone, you know, and it was late at night. So it was completely dark in my room. And we went into this ecstatic meditation together. And there were all these, and our intention was for healing, you know, to make a bridge between 3D and 5D mm-hmm. For humanity. And we had all these reptilian beings coming in, and these reptilians were saying to me, you should be afraid of me. I'm reptilian. And they were like, some of them were like dragon beings. So they might've been some draconians in there, but they were like sticking out their lizard tongues and fire at me. And I'm seeing this in my mind and I'm feeling the fear that they're projecting at me. But I myself was in so much ecstatic, blissful state. And I was so focused on what we were doing together. I just kept saying to them, like, I'm not afraid of you. I'm so blissed out. Why don't you just come and join us? Mm-hmm. I just kept being in that state. Like, I'm really not afraid of you. I'm so blissed out. That's kind of what I kept saying. I'm so blissed out. I get your story. I'm hearing you. I'm seeing you. But, you know, this feels so good. I really just don't want you to take me out of my bliss state. And eventually they just morphed. I mean, they were relentless. It was like, it went on like this for almost an hour, but eventually they just morphed and they were like, yeah, okay. And that's when I realized these reptilians are powerless over our bliss love. Mm-hmm. It's like they were trying to hook me in, trying to get me. They used every tactic they could. I saw fire, I saw tongues, lizard tongues, and ropes and chains, and like they were alluring me, mm-hmm. luring me in. And it was just like, I'm just so ecstatic. Like, I'm sorry, I just don't feel like going there. Come over here.
That's awesome.
They shape-shifted, right? This is what I mean. It's like they have no power. It's just, mm-hmm. Anyway, where were we going? I went off on a tangent because I did that. But the reptilian part, that's in us too.
Yeah.
We're reptilian. We have a reptilian brain. We don't need to be afraid of these beings. They are aspect of us. That was aspect of my consciousness that came in through that meditation. Since then, I've had lots of reptilians come in. They come into the circles sometimes. They want the healing. They want to evolve themselves too. And they are plenty of them in higher dimensional realms, but they're vibing with love and peace there because they also have transformed. The point is, in my opinion, we have all of it in us. We have, and many others that we haven't even touched. We are Lyrian. In fact, for people who are light workers, I mean, light singers,
light language,
light language. You know, a lot of light language, not all, but so much of it comes from Lyran's star system. The Lyrans are musical singers, and the Lyran light language is encoded in the DNA. So when you have people doing light language, a lot of it's coming from the Lyran star system, and it means that that particular person very likely has connected and awakened those star codes within them that connect. And even if it's not Lyran, because it's not reserved only and exclusively Lyrans, that's one of the things the Lyran system is known for, their beautiful song.
Right.
So, you know, we have it all as far as I'm concerned. But when you start awakening that within you and you start, you know, spontaneously singing light language, well, it's very likely that those star code markings have been activated within you, and some part of you that's connecting to that aspect of your DNA, this is why you're spontaneously singing light language. And people are like, where is this coming from? I never had it before. And then sometimes people who spontaneously initially start singing light language, they're afraid of it. I've had people like sing to me and they're like, what do I do? I'm afraid. Like, what are you afraid of? It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. What? That's their, maybe they're still programmed into some fear-based programming. Anyway, so, it's all in it.
Yeah, and so we're not going to be connected, well, you know, in the greater sense, yes, we're connected to everything, but in our DNA, like, I don't think I don't have the light language thing going on, but, you know, sure, I might have the Pleiadian and Sirian and other DNA codes, you know, because somebody had told me, and I forget now, because in the long run, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, let me say this. When you say you don't have the light language and the Lyran one.
Because I'm not speaking.
I don't agree that you don't have it. I just think that perhaps it's more likely that what you're playing with right now and what you're focusing on right now is other aspects of yourself. Because, you know, ultimately, if you go to 12th, 13th dimensional consciousness, you're talking about unity with the divine source. That is all that is.
Yeah.
So unity with divine source, that is unlimited potential, unlimited consciousness. Once you align with that, which is really most humans are not there at all, right? Mm-hmm. But of course, these sort of sub layers of you, aspects of you, are Lyran. And you are part of that. Yeah. So right now in your expression of that, some aspect of you is not resonating at that frequency at this now moment as you're speaking, but you are that. We all are that. Mm-hmm. So we all have all these aspects in us, and it's more like what aspects have we awakened and what aspects are we playing with? Because I've had light language spontaneously come through me. And I definitely, when I do clearings, a lot of times there's like a strange noise that sort of, it is a light language. It's a clearing language mm-hmm. that just comes through because it's some part of my consciousness that has learned and knows I can clear that language really fast and shift through density. So it just does it spontaneously when I'm doing healing. But I don't really play as much with the light language, mostly because it's not my greatest joy. But if I wanted to, I know I could find it, activate it, play with it within me. I know it's already accessible to me. So anyway, I think we all have it. And it's more like, where does the joy? Because like, even with my channeling, I don't now yet channel the way most channelers do. Like there's some really fabulous channelers out there who are just incredible channels. And they just, and I know you have a lot of them on your show and some amazing channels, but that's what they do. That's their thing. Yeah. In many cases, that's their area of expertise. And I remember when I was starting awakening my gifts, I used to have a lot of beings come to me and be like, hey, do you want to channel me? And my earlier learning was, you know, nah, I don't want anyone coming in through my body, using my vehicle. Because my higher consciousness knew somehow I had to develop the discernment because I was going to play with a lot of stuff before I would let anyone channel through me or anything. Now I'm willing to channel because I've gotten to the point where I'm so discerning. I know exactly who or what that frequency is that wants to channel through. I've had beings try to come in like you know, I like to play with the word dead people. It's not, they're not dead. Right. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure yet if I want you coming through, or maybe this isn't the appropriate time. So, you know, I just think that's another thing. We all have it. And since I've developed that, now I let a lot more come through. I love channeling, especially when I'm in a group, because there's so many beings and everybody wants a voice. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. But that's because I've developed my discernment. In the earlier days, I didn't have that. I wasn't ready for it, even though it was accessible to me.
Yeah. So you did the work.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's key, right? I've been steadfast in my dedication to this and my commitment. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That was a lot too.
So I was just going to say, so if anybody has any questions about that, you know, not necessarily about what, if anybody has any questions, write it in the chat.
Let's make this clear, because I've gotten to the point now where I really feel like when people use a platform to ask very personal questions, something like this, I kind of feel like, I don't want to use this platform for that. I want it to benefit the whole group. If you really want to go into your own personal stuff, that's typically a private or a semi-private session, so that we can give that dedication. Because I tell you, the last group call I did where someone asked some private stuff, what happened during that time was I knew I could give her so much more, but I am limited to a container of like 5 minutes. Yeah. And what ends up happening is if I don't get it precise in those 5 minutes, the person starts to sort of, their ego self will bring up an energy of argument or debate. They don't think it's argument or debate, but for me, it feels like it. And I don't need to get into that. I'm not interested. I'm interested in serving and supporting you. I can always get to what it is. It might not be something I can do in the scope of 5 minutes. I know I can always get to what that person needs, but even like 45 minutes isn't enough. That's why the clients I work with now, I only work with clients who are doing packages of ongoing work. I've stopped doing privates at this point because I'm only
interested in
people who really want to do the work. So, you know, let's keep it to stuff that can really serve the group, expand our consciousness. Mm-hmm. Can be about animals, what's going on the earth, ascension, anything about DNA, anything that serves group collective. That's not so narrowly focused, that would require more of a private, you know, private session, or at least more time for private time.
So there was a question from Angels 888. So to me, this is okay. She says, I have a marking on the back of my neck. Is this possibly a star code marking or a leftover mark from my head being chopped off? Which I think is really funny, because so many of us know that we have had our head chopped off in previous lifetimes. We know that. I mean, mm-hmm. I know, like, my neck is always, hasn't been for a long time, but, you know, used to always be sore. And I realized, you know, through past life regressions and journeying and all that stuff, that I when I talk about it, I can't talk about it. My head's been chopped off, or I've been hung, blah, blah, blah. So there's not necessarily a mark. I usually have a lot of sensitivity and pain around my neck. So,
Lord. All right. Well, let me. I'll give feedback on that.
Yeah.
So for this particular person, Angel 888, the one thing I need whenever I do something more personal is I need a name, you know. And if with an animal, even I need a name. But so I can't say specifically for you. What I can say is my higher knowing about it.
Oh, Yvonne. Her name is Yvonne.
Yvonne.
Yeah.
When someone is carrying a star code marking that is from your star seed family or your star family, it's always going to be something benevolent. Somehow you're going to somehow resonate with it in a way that's enjoyable, that inspires you, that ignites some curiosity, that somehow I always liked my marking there. I always found it curious.
Yeah. And my mark here is the same thing. I've never thought of it as, oh, I had my head chopped off, or like nothing like that. It was always like, oh, this is so interesting. This is so
right. You're gonna kind of like it, or it's gonna somehow be curious to you.
Yeah,
that's because it's of a benevolent nature, and you understand our star family. That's bringing us out of a third dimensional construct, out of third dimensional reality that's based fear based. the star family associated with higher dimensional frequencies is always going to be frequency of love, of peace, of joy, of happiness, of inspiration, of excitement, of enthusiasm, some frequency that inspires, uplifts. So if you have a star marking on your physical body that's of that nature, that's the frequency. That's where it's going to resonate. That's what it's going to inspire in you somehow. Now, if it's a trauma from another lifetime, for example, a head being chopped off, that's going to be based in third dimensional construct, right? An old paradigm. And that frequency is going to feel somehow more dense, trauma or drama. So even when you, Alara, referred to getting your head cut off, and that sometimes when you talk about it, that's a trauma-based frequency.
Yeah.
And that is anchored in third dimension, which we could also call that potentially a parallel lifetime. It could have been from another lifetime, parallel existence, past lifetime, where you got your head cut off or something. Mm-hmm. And if it's still resonating with you, it means it's still there for you to clear or resolve. Right. And typically, if it's still resonating and you've worked on clearing and it hasn't been cleared, it's more likely that there's still some information that's valuable to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's not yet cleared, something that you haven't fully accessed or unraveled or reveal to yourself, because even traumas, they're not meant to be suffering ultimately. They're meant to store something up for you that needs to be revealed to you. That's some gifts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I hope that answers that. I hope that makes sense. And that's up for Yvonne to discern for yourself, like how, what that is for you, what that, how that makes sense to you. And I'll give you one other tool about that too, is, I mean, you can really play with it and ask it. You can let your consciousness start to just explore the possibility of diving into that scar or tissue or marking, whatever she used the word marking, and you let your consciousness just kind of dive into it, play with it. Well, what is it? Where, what's your story? What's your consciousness revealing?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, because ultimately, every bit of consciousness that's not serving you will be transmuted. That is the whole point of leaving 3D behind. Because as you anchor in 5D, 5D is another platform of energy, frequency, vibration, consciousness, where you get to play with whatever is. And through that playing with this newfound consciousness, knowing that you are love, you are safe, you are the vibration of frequency of consciousness based in love, peace, joy, etc. You have the tools of forgiveness. You have an awareness now that you're well. You can play with anything. And you either, if you don't really like it or want it anymore, if it's density or struggle or suffering or karmic bullshit, you could, you learn. You work with healers like me, like all of us here, who learn how to say no thanks, hasta la vista, to that which we don't want, and claim more of that which we desire. You don't learn lessons anymore in 5D. No more lessons learning. It's claim your lesson and be done with it already, and then choose a new experience. It's about more consciously. So anyway, I hope that makes sense. That's all about it, this marking. But play with the marking. Find out for yourself what it is. Because, you know, I always think it's really funny in the end when some psychic says, oh, I see you're this, or I see you're that. And okay, that may be true and that may be real. But at the same time, it's up to you to decide what everything means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, true. Not from a place of ridiculous woo-woo. You know, I saw, you know, Constant Contact?
Yes.
The newsletter service. Oh, man. One thing I cannot stand is when people put these commercials and movies that make the spiritual world look stupid. And they like to do that. So they have this commercial that makes, it's Constant Contact saying something like, I blessed my newsletter and now I've got 100,000 visitors. It's like, so, all right, whatever. They're making the commercial, they make us look stupid.
Yeah.
But the point, where was I going with that? Oh, is, you know, like there is a lot of that in the spiritual tribe, isn't there? A lot of that in the spiritual tribe where we just seem so ridiculous. Oh, I see your answer. I see your spirit guide. And it's like, all right, all right, it's fun, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that.
And so that's what this call is about. It's opening you up to so much more. Just tell it because somebody had emailed me. I don't know if you're on the call, Dawn, but you can raise your hand to ask a question. if you're on video, and even if you're just on the phone, I see people do it with their hands raised. I don't know how to do it on the phone. I've never done it, but you can raise your hand, or you can type into the chat, or if you don't know how to do any of that, just
meet the chat. I just pressed on that chat button. That's so funny.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. So I was going to go to Lynn next. She had raised her hand a while ago. So Lynn, I'm going to unmute you. Hi.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Hi, Lori. Hi, Alara. I really want to honor that, what you were saying about no personal questions, and I have a list of things I'm scribbling down here, but I read something, and I can't even remember where, because I read so much, and so much comes into me, but it resonates with what you were saying earlier about Earth and what we're comprised of. You know, what are we? And this article or someone talking, I can't remember which it was just in the last 2 days, said, you know, this whole planet, we're mongrels.
We're what?
I mean, that sounds terrible. I don't think they meant it terribly. They just meant that we're such a mixture of
mongrels.
Just a mixture from all the planets.
I would call it hybrid. I would use the word hybridized because mongrels.
That's much nicer. That's much nicer.
You know, words are just words, but at the same time, they carry an energy. So I would say, yes, I think it's more accurate to say we're a hybrid race.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I'm going to cross out that mongrel because that is. I totally agree. But
did you have a question, Lynn, or what?
About that and. You know, you guided me to Maureen's Saint Germain, who
I've heard
a lot from, and us. And one thing that's really helped me that she said in her book, what is it, coming into 5D or whatever, is I try so hard to rein.
Lynn, is there music in the background where you are? Yeah, it sounds like, yeah. Can we turn that off? It's very distracting. And it's really helpful too when people question, since there's so many of us, if you could just, you know, ask your question, because otherwise everybody's sitting waiting and they start saying, why are we spending 20 minutes? Let's get to it.
I'll try to get to it. You know how hard it is for me to get to it. this thing that we all have to deal with when we're learning and we want to share with people. And Maureen, one of the things she says is very simple, but I think really effective. I'm gonna see what you think of it. Wait till someone asks you a few times. Wait till their heart is ready to be receptive to the question they first asked. The first time they ask, it's like kind of curiosity. They really don't want to know the answer to it. But when they ask again, you know, well, what's that all about? You know, how do you believe that? What happened to you? What did you learn? Where did you learn it? She says, and I'm paraphrasing, let them ask a few times because.
All right. So Lynn, I'm going to interject here. So I love Maureen I love Maureen. She's a close personal friend and I respect her and admire her, but it's not appropriate for me to comment on what someone else teaches. It's not appropriate. Okay. And it's not appropriate. And I would say, I love everything Maureen says, but it's not appropriate for you to ask me even about what someone else says, because that it's not an integrity for me to comment on that, other than to say I love her and I respect her and I admire her.
Yeah.
How can I help? I don't think it's appropriate for me to make comments on other people's teachings in a platform like this.
Yeah.
But I hope that helps. I hope that answers your question.
It does, and thank you. And I apologize if I've said
something. No, it's all good. It's all good. We're all learning. We're learning spiritual etiquette. I will say that I just led a sacred journey in Arkansas, and it never occurred to me that I would have to teach people spiritual etiquette. It never occurred to me, but I realized we are learning that. We have to learn that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I teach it in my psychic development class that we're not supposed to invade other people's psychic space. I teach it in all my animal communication classes and my psychic development classes. The sun is making some funny japes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to learn it. We don't know. There's no wrongness in it. It's just...
And also see how it resonates with you, Lynn. See what's right for you, right?
Yeah.
Ask yourself, does that resonate with you, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
There might be a teaching in there for you.
Thing in my face here.
Yes, I think so. And I understand and thank you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, because I mean, I realize people, we don't all know spiritual etiquette. We don't. You know, it's like I've had people psychically invade my space over the years and I've thrown hissy fits. Like I had a tech guy one time and we had kind of like a falling out and he psychically invaded my space and telling me, you know, what he's psychic. I had an animal communicator. She's actually quite famous. Once psychically invaded. It's so insulting. It's like you don't get these gifts so you can start invading and intruding on someone else's psychic space. That's a good way to lose your gifts, actually, or to stall them.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Yeah. No. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lynn, for bringing that to our attention too, because it is so true that you know when you hear something, whether it's from me or Lori or somebody else, play with it for yourself. See how it feels. You know.
Absolutely.
Because we're coming from our own point of view and our own perspective, right? And somebody else might have different information that we don't even have, right? So check in and see what's true for you, is what I will say. All right?
Thank you. Wonderful. Very much.
Thank you, Lynn. All right, so we're going to go to...
You know, I will address my opinion of you know, when what to do when somebody wants information. I mean, I give you that if you want my opinion. When someone is asking for information or psychic awareness, or, you know, what comes up a lot is when people want to help others and they want to give it, you want to help someone, you're becoming more psychically aware, you want to give information to somebody, but maybe they haven't asked for it. And I would say to that, my perspective is that this is one of the big challenges, because on the one level, we want to share it with others. We want to help. And on the other level, like if they're asking or not asking, like if they are asking, are they really wanting it? Sometimes they don't really. So you have to gauge your own energy, because we're in a universe, a reality that's now based on energetics. Mm-hmm. In third dimensional reality, we were completely unconscious of the energetics. And now we're being asked to step up and be aware of everything energetically. So if someone's asking you for something and it feels good and right to give it, and it feels uplifting and expansive to share it, then it's good. Then it's become something, yeah, this feels good and right. If someone's asking you for something and it feels draining or pulling or depleting, the answer is going to be your version of maybe not right now, or no thank you, or I need to go take a rest, maybe we can reconnect later, or no thanks, some form of no thanks. You know, I honor and respect you, but no. You know, that's an important inner gauge. If something's pulling on you or draining, typically that's your inner message of no go, no thanks. If something's uplifting, expanding, that's your inner message of yes, please. So I hope that's my response, that if someone's not asking, the answer is they're not asking. It's NYOB, none of my business. They're not asking. Yeah. And also, I'll just say another thing on this that's really rampant in the spiritual community. I've had this happen to me more than once. And that is when someone decides that they want to share their point of view with you, and they do what I call puking in your inbox. You know, they suddenly they have their belief or their truth or their experience, and they think it's appropriate to just send you an email because somehow you were involved. It's, oh, I just want to share my truth or my point of view, but somehow it's not really particularly, I just want to tell you how much I love and appreciate you. It's, yeah, something about you triggered me. Mm-hmm. So now they're puking in their your inbox, and they've just basically energetically robbed you. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to either have some healthy boundary. I'm not going to let this upset me. I'm not going to let this ruin me. Ruin my day. I'm not going to let this drain me. Or, you know, is this appropriate for, but now you've just been, someone's just come into your field, right? By sharing what they needed to share, which really ultimately didn't concern you at all. That's puking in your inbox. It's inappropriate. But in third dimensional reality, people don't know. And in fourth dimension, when people are waking up, they don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't know that that's inappropriate. If it's unwarranted, unrequested, it's inappropriate. Doesn't matter that you need to share it. If you need to share it, you need to take it to someone who it doesn't involve, who's a friend or confidant or healer, who's willing to listen to help you work through what you need to share. Okay, I sound like I'm lecturing now, so I don't want to sound like that.
But. No. And I was just going to add one more little thing for Lynn and everybody as well. So, like, if somebody asks you a question, you know, like, I always, until somebody asks me a question, I don't say anything. Nothing. My mouth is closed. I say nothing. And then when they ask me a question, I look at the energetics of it, like Lori was saying, and I check in and see how much are they really willing to receive, right? I'm not going to give them a whole big story and so much information and so much energy that they can't even take it in, because then they're just going to judge you. They're going to reject you, and they're going to judge you, and they're going to just,
well,
you know.
And even more than judge you, I love what you're saying. You're totally right, because personally, I could care less about judgments. I'm so far past that. I could care less who judges me and what their judgments are. But because it has nothing to do with who I am, essentially. They're only ever going to project who they perceive me to be and not who I really am. And most people can't see mm-hmm. or perceive the brilliance of what's in front of them. When I'm next to them, they can't perceive that, because most people haven't done the inner work yet, that kind of degree of work. And it's not that it's not in them too. A true starseed and light worker always sees the brilliance, because they're like, I love you, I honor you, I adore you. That's the way they are. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's not about the judgment for me so much, but it is about energy. I mean, you have unlimited energy in terms of your connection and access with source, infinite, all that is. And yet you as a human, in your human existence, we are all dealing with energetics, reserves, you know, replenishment. And so if somebody's asking you for something and it becomes a drain on you or a depletion of you because you're overgiving and they're not quite ready, or they're not honoring it, or they're not respecting it, or they're not appreciating it, or they're not valuing it, or they're taking you for granted, or I've had a lot of this in my life. All they do is take. And I've had a lot of people in my life like that, especially in the last year. I've had to cut out of my life a friend that I had for the past year. I had to look at that friendship at my birthday when I realized this year has been all taking, no giving back. And on the one day she could have given back appropriately, you know, you have to really evaluate who you keep company with, because if it's all energetic takers, that's another factor too. Mm-hmm. So this is the game of energy. This is just how energy,
yeah,
in our new reality. Yeah. So I mean, if they're going to judge you, that's one thing. But if they're just going to end up draining you because of their need that they're not getting from source, you know, take. That's something to consider too.
Anyway. All right. Awesome. So just as a follow-up to that, there's a comment from someone. I don't know your name. I'm sorry. It just says Galaxy J7 Sky Pro. It says, good statement, because you were talking about people can sometimes be robbed of their gifts and knowledge when something. So how do you suggest one prevent that? How do you suggest one prevent being robbed of your gifts and knowledge, or being stalled in this type of scenario?
Yeah. Okay. So first, you can never be robbed of your gifts, because your true gifts are within you, and your DNA, of course, has your gifts in there, coded in there, but your consciousness is within you. And the more you expand into your connection with source, right, the gifts are all there. They're all available to all of us. But the experience of feeling robbed of your gifts is a very real experience that we go through as we're ascending and awakening, and as we're interacting in still in duality with other humans. Yeah. So you can feel that way. And I have certainly had experiences like that too, where I have felt like this person took everything they could and then just, you know, didn't give a crap about, you know, the ashes that they left behind as they, you know, burned me at the stake, so to speak. So I get that, you know, how do you prevent that? And the thing is, what I've come to find, I can only give you my experience on this, is that if that happens, it happened to teach you, not that you have to learn things, but something that you weren't accessing in your consciousness about how to relate with other people and also about how to manage your own energy. So in those kinds of cases, you have to really go searching for the gifts. What was good about that experience? What was right about that experience that I'm not seeing, perceiving, or realizing? How did that experience serve me that my current consciousness at this moment is not aware of? What are the gifts in that experience for me that I need to receive and that are meant for me so that I can evolve beyond feeling like someone robbed me? And how can I ensure through the expansion of my own consciousness that this doesn't happen again, so that I can be done and complete with the experience, right? To me, that's when something, and that's good tools for any kind of experience, because that's not necessarily benevolent or enjoyable. Because people in third dimensional reality, people are walking around the planet of lack and limitation. Third dimensional consciousness, I've referred to it this way a lot of times. It's like a planet of lack and limitation. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough happiness. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough friends. I don't have a big enough house. I don't have a big enough car. I don't have enough jewelry. I mean, whatever it is, you know? So that's the planet of lack and limitation. And in that frequency, you're always going to be looking for what you can get from somebody else outside of you. That's what they do in third dimensional consciousness. It's like, I need you to listen to me. I need you to understand me. I need you to hear me. I need to share this with you. I need something from you. That's third dimensional reality. And even in 4D, people who are awakening, I need to be understood. I need to be nurtured. I need to be loved. I need to be cared for. That's fourth dimensional reality. In fifth dimensional reality, we start realizing, no, my needs are not external to me. My need is internal. I must seek it from within myself and, my stomach's making noise, and come into alignment with this infinite source that has all that is available to me. Whatever I need is within me. And yes, I might go to a healer who can translate this because I might not know. I might go to a channeler or some other spiritual teacher or guide or trusted confidant or mastermind circle or... Mm-hmm. prayer group or whatever it is, that's fine. We do need one another to go through the ascension process. We absolutely do. We are here to support and assist each other. But it's you going there not to be this, but rather to be like, okay, let's come together and find, serve, support, and assist one another. So how do you navigate from somebody stealing from you is number one, or feeling like that. Number one, you recognize there's some higher purpose for it. There must be some higher reason for it. You search what is the gifts of this that are meant to serve, support, and assist me. How can I become more conscious and clear about those so that I can learn whatever I have to learn or receive in awareness, whatever I have to receive, and so that I can be done and complete with this experience and be not need to recreate it. And then how can I ensure that I recognize and value and honor that which is within me as the source of my supply, so that as I'm doing so through this inner process, I'm not vamping on anyone else. Because in truth, if someone has vamped on you somewhere, you've vamped on someone else. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. But, you know, there are times when you do require support, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I still do a healing session for myself. I think I'm a fabulous healer.
Yes,
I think I am phenomenal. I think I'm a fantastic psychic. I think I'm so off the charts fabulous as a psychic, intuitive, animal communicator, healer. channel. And I still go every week, once a week, for something where someone else is taking care of me. And it's either through some form of healing. Sometimes it's body work, massage work, might be cranial sacral, although I'm not as into that as much because I have felt too much of other people's stuff, the handler moving through me. But, you know, I'm always going to someone else because I know I also need to be cared for.
Yeah. And I do the same.
Yeah.
Maybe not every week.
Why do we have friendships? I mean, last week I was thinking. No, but I mean, we do need it. We need it. We need social community. We are social beings. We are tribe beings.
Yeah.
It's just we're not meant to think that our needs are in the 5D reality. We're not meant to think that our needs are met outside of us first. We're meant to realize that our needs are met from within us. Even if I need someone to give me a body massage, I can't necessarily I can give myself a hug, but sometimes I'm going to need a body massage.
Yeah.
And that's okay. There's no wrongness in needing, but I'm going to be the one who says, source, bring me that right body massage person who I am aligned with. It's going to feel so good when we work together. She's going to love working on me. I'm going to love working with him, her. There's going to be a fair energy exchange that feels good and right to both of us. That's aligned where this person does great work on my body. It's all going to be, bring this person to me, show me who they are, and let it happen with ease, grace, and benevolence.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And Galaxy, I'm just going to call you Galaxy. Please don't isolate yourself. You know, we tend to do that. I tend to do that. Please don't. Okay. So if you don't isolate yourself, please reach out. Okay. And, but do what Lori just said, you know, ask for that right person to show up, right, to work with you. Okay.
Yeah. And then, I mean, also you don't just sit at home, you know, waiting. You take right action. Like maybe that day you go to the beach or you go to the park and suddenly you meet a massage person and you just totally click it off. Sometimes it does. A lot of times it happens that way. But sometimes it means, let me just do a search on the internet to see local massage places in my area. Or let me go to Meetup and see if there's spiritual massage groups there. You know, sometimes you do have to take a certain amount of action. It's not like we just sit here and ohm it from the sky. And you take the right action that feels good and right to you and feels inspiring. And yeah, maybe you do go to a massage class and you are going to have to fork out $800 to learn massage if you want to, you know, whatever it is,
yeah.
You know, whatever is appropriate. So we're not so spiritual woo-woo that we sit at home every day and think we're just going to ohm it from the sky.
So to be totally transparent, a couple of months ago, I was going through a difficult time and I didn't reach out until it was almost too late. Then I did reach out. So, you know, today I made a point of contacting some of my friends that I actually saw in Canada and the US while I was there to connect with them again, to talk to them again, not necessarily because I need healing or anything, but just to keep the connection going and strong. And so that I don't go back into my habit of withdrawing. So I'm isolating myself because that's a pattern. I do that. You know, it's like if something's going on, I'm going to go within and not let anybody else support me or even let anyone know that there's anything going on. Right.
Yeah.
So, I'm reaching out, not necessarily pulling or dragging, because there's nothing going on. I'm fine, but I'm just reaching out so that we don't lose our connection because, you know, I'm thinking of them. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, we just need that. We need that connection with other people, you know, not necessarily for.
Laura, I love you. I wish you reached out to me.
I will, Lori. Thank you.
I just send some love to your heart center.
I will. Thank you.
Because, you know, a true friend is someone I think it's so important to have. I don't need a lot of friends. I don't need a lot of true friends.
Yeah.
But a true friend is someone you can call up and spill your guts to. And you're not going to feel like you're not going to feel like you're somehow spiritually condescended to. Or spiritually judged as,
yeah.
How come she's not? That's the biggest joke,
right? She should have it all together. Why does she need help? Why is she struggling? Why is she going through this? Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Crazy. You have that a lot in the spiritual community, that you're somehow not supposed to have hardship, or you're supposed to have transcended that. And nothing could be further than the truth, because those of us, I believe, who have some of the greatest gifts have gone through some of the most difficult, challenging hardships internally because of, you know, all different reasons, mm-hmm. but because we're really working through shadow stuff. And a lot of times we're doing it for the collective. That's a nice excuse, but it is true.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people use that too much of an excuse not to own their own shadow stuff. But it is true. There's that. And then other times, yeah, I have had situations where I do a private session, and if I really cleared a lot of stuff for that person, I might that whole night feel really bad. And I know it's in that night, it's not that I can't remove it from my own self, but sometimes I'm so deep in their stuff that I don't even know it's not mine mm-hmm. until the next morning. I might have, you know, like sometimes if you're really in a dark space, you can't even see the light in that moment. So it's nice to have friends. You don't need I don't need a lot of close friends, but I need a few. And you know a friend.
Same here.
When you can bare your soul, show yeah. your shadow, and you don't feel at all spiritually condescended to or spiritually judged or somehow seen as, wow, I thought this person would be more.
Mm-hmm. And there are very few people like that. You know, like basically I can, you know,
I'm like that.
Maybe 10 at the most, you know, really, you know, that
I'm
I can.
I'm like that. You can call me.
Thank you. I will. I will. Because like, sometimes we go.
Small handful of friends who are like that. Very small handful.
Yeah, exactly. So Galaxy, again, I'm so glad you posted that about to that today. Your medicine card said, the time is right for me to reach out to others. Yay. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad. And I'm glad you did reach out. And please continue. Okay. So let me just go back up, or let me take another question before I totally forget that there's other people that have their hand raised. So I'm going to unmute number, phone number ending in 3468. 1 second, I'm going to unmute you.
Oh, hello? SJ's on the phone. Hi, SJ. Love SJ. And Randy's here. Hi, Randy.
So this is phone number ending in 3468. I've unmuted you. Hello?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Don.
Oh, good. Hi, Don.
And I still don't know how I got on, but apparently I pushed the right button to raise my hand. So that's
good. There you are.
But
I don't know how to do that. All right, go ahead.
Okay. I was just kind of worrying, thinking about how the political atmosphere is right now and what's going on, like between 3D and 5D and 7D and anybody. I hope it includes everyone. I'm not asking any specifics. So, but just, you know, maybe after the United States election, what was there anything that was resonating from 5D and 7D that really stuck out to you or we should be looking for?
Let's say this first. Understand that I'll make one comment about Trump and then I want to move on because this is not about Trump, what I really want to say and what's coming through. But I'll just say one thing about Trump. Understand that Trump is nothing more. He is more, but nothing more. Most importantly is the word to say. Most importantly, he is simply a tower to hold a space holder between an old system and a new system that hasn't fully anchored yet. Yeah, I mean, the new system is anchored. The new system is based in the 5D. It's held in the crystals, in the crystalline consciousness, in the grid that's buried in the earth, the inner grid. But Trump is the placeholder, in a sense, because there's other political candidates, but he's just the most famous one. The United States is very famous, and we're in the United States mostly, so we're speaking of that. He is... of all the politicians we've had, like him, hate him, he is the least corrupt of all politicians we've had in political president office, except for maybe JFK, but he was really corrupt too. That's another story. The point I'm making here is we're shifting from an old paradigm of politics to a new paradigm of politics, because Don, you asked about politics and political arena. And this person is simply a space holder from that perspective. Now, let's get this. The reason there's such a big push to vote, the reason there has always been a big push to vote, and now even more, is because as people are unplugging from third dimensional paradigm, the voting system is collapsing because we know it's completely corrupted. And we know that voting is a brainwashing tactic to make people believe that they're free and that they have a say. And it's all brainwashing. It's not really true, right? Now, we also know that when we're dealing with fifth dimension and beyond, that the quantum field of intelligence never disregards your vote. And there is no way that when you're voting with consciousness in the field of consciousness connected into the grid of Earth, the true grid, and higher consciousness of the divine, and also working with the universal laws, which reside on the sixth plane of existence, that your vote will never be discounted and cannot be rigged and will always be honored. So therefore, when we exist in fifth dimensional reality, we vote with the quantum field and our vote is counted. And we pay very much attention to how we vote with intelligence, because we're choosing not so much, I want Trump or I want this one or I want that political candidate or voting for that. We're choosing more from a place of what is for the highest and best of all of humanity. Let that come to pass, right? And we may have opinions or judgments about that. We may say, well, we don't believe that, for example, Monsanto is good. We vote against, or we ask that the source eliminate and remove Monsanto, for example, and all its activities in the highest and best ways. And the people who work for that corporation find better jobs serving the greater good of humanity, for example. So this is how we vote in 5D and beyond. Now, understand in third dimensional construct, the pull and lure towards voting is actually a pull and lure from the old paradigm and the old patriarchy, which is fear-based, reptilian-dominated, draconian-dominated, primarily, archons, the archons, who really have no say anymore, but they're still trying to control the collective by enticing them to vote. But understand, a vote in third-dimensional paradigm is a vote for the old paradigm to continue. So I do not advise you to vote, personally. However, I have no objection to your voting if that's what you choose. You have a free will choice in that sense, yeah? Just know that when you're voting in third dimensional paradigm, you're playing a game of 3D and you're perpetuating essentially the old paradigm. This is what I've been taught from the higher realms. Now you can use your discernment, I'm just sharing. So I don't have any attachment to your opinion. I'm just sharing because I'm the speaker of the day. So I hope that makes sense and brings some clarity. Nonetheless, even whatever you vote, whoever you vote for, whatever political candidate or party you support or align with, whatever that is, if you do choose to engage in that, understand that that system, no matter how it plays out, is collapsing, and it will continue to collapse. And what we will see is a transformation of the system. So either new candidates will eventually come in who are more aligned with these higher frequencies of true service, because the old system based on service to self is over. It will not sustain itself. But new candidates may come in and are starting to, I believe, who understand true service to the collective. And as that happens, that old system may start to thrive again, may rebirth itself. Or it may somehow transform itself. That's what we're creating. So once you, as a unique individual, use your own discernment to decide, do I feel like that system is worthy of my vote now? Has it transformed in a way? Or is this candidate someone who I really do believe is really aligned with service to the greater good and is strong enough to stand like a tower and refuse to be partaking in a patriarchal system that is collapsing, then maybe I'll vote for him, or maybe that's up for each of us to decide on our own. So I hope that's helpful. I don't know if that caller just dropped off, but.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Maybe I might have said something that he didn't like, or I don't know, but I hope that's helpful.
Or maybe he just pressed the wrong button, remember, because it was first time calling in via phone, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I hope that's helpful. That's a lot there I just said, right? I go, and then what happens is the brain is like, goes into, okay, too much.
Yeah, no, it's okay. But I mean, you know, when it comes to voting.
Too much there, or does that make sense?
Sorry? No, it makes sense.
Okay.
It makes sense. Yeah. And so just go with your knowing too, you know, whether you vote, whether you don't vote, whoever you vote for, go with your knowing, go with your gut and do what.
Well, because I'm only offering something like that concept that your vote, if you're voting, you're voting to support a third paradigm. That can be a button pusher, what I just said. Get it. I say a lot of things that can push buttons.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm taking information from this quantum field that's beyond what we are normal with, used to. Is that your man who just came in?
Yes, he finally came home, but he's going back out again.
Wow.
It's okay. All right, so I'm just going to see. So I know that we wanted to do some, I'll see if there's other questions from above, if I can find them again. So if there's somebody, Lynn had a question about lightworker etiquette and customer service issues. Sometimes light workers, because we're so nice and kind and we let things go instead of, you know, asking for more.
Let's go to Randy because we did a question from Lynn. Randy. We didn't cover Randy.
Well, Randy.
How does our consciousness affect our experiences, our rainbow body?
There's lots of questions from Randy, so I don't know which question you want to answer.
Yeah, Randy. We love you, Randy.
Hello.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Randy. Do you want to pick one question or do you want me to pick one in there?
Either. To keep it mild-mannered and beautiful for everyone, when we, and I know where to find you if I want to delve into more, thank you. When we experience rainbows, you know, not just our rainbow body, but the, you know, rainbows like you see out in nature, out in our garden, out in our yard. When we experience them, how is our consciousness interacting or relating or affecting that experience?
Thank you. Me too.
This is an awesome
thank you.
Question.
I love you too.
Yeah, thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy. So, okay, let's understand that in a physical reality, a rainbow is a projection of light that is reflected from various frequencies of light, right? Light patterns, that this reflection is bouncing off of, and I'm not a scientist how to explain it in 3D, but it's that light bouncing off of different things and reflecting off of different things. And then the lens of the eye picks it up and perceives it and reflects it back into the brain. The brain makes sense of it, right? So what this light is a reflection of light. It's reflecting in the reality, in the physical world, and we take it in and we experience it. Now, if we take that rainbow light in and all that reflection in and receive it into the body is now energetically harmonizing with that light. So that light is actually, as we know, because the true truth is everything in the external world is a reflection of the inner consciousness, right? Every person, place, thing, and experience is a reflection of the inner consciousness reflecting externally. So therefore, if we perceive that rainbow light, this is coming in as a little channel, if we perceive that rainbow light as a reflection of who we are inside, and we start to work with it internally, it's activating and awakening more of our light body. So even though, Randy, your question was, is this light, how is it working with us external to our light body? The truth is, both are one. The light is a reflection of who we are, of our consciousness from within. The external reality is reflecting it as a physical experience. And then if we take it in more, this is so important, working with the light, because it's morphing our light body. Our physical form that's based, carbon-based, is transmuting into crystalline base. How does that happen? The light. The light that we take in is awakening the light from within, and transforming the physical form. Does this make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to say, because one of the
I'm
things
I'm looking at Antelechy.
What's that?
Antelechy is my new word. So Antelechy, to you know, essence realized. It's a great word. It takes you. It reminds me of the word profundity.
What's the word? What's the word you said?
Antelechy. Antelechy. Entelechy.
Okay.
It's a deep word, and so which reflects to all you just said. To answer your question, do I understand? Yeah. It's takes us into oneness with all that is, and being able to accept or realize that potential.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say also that I live in Florida. I spend a lot of time on the beach. I spend a lot of time working with the sun. I've been getting into like sun gazing and breathing in sunlight as a form of nourishment as well, and just working with breath to nourish the body. So I haven't been needing as much food nourishment, because not that I want to be fully breatharian or sun gazer, but I like the idea of not needing food unless I want it, you know, unless it's from a place of more enjoyment. Like sometimes you have to eat and you don't really like your choices, or you don't want, like that's what I'm, so I'm working with the sun and the light. And I know all these colors of light, you know, when I work with them, I'm talking to them, I'm interacting with them, they're giving me codes, they're explaining things to me. There's consciousness in the light. There's consciousness in all the rainbow and all the colors. And if you really work with them, I mean, for me, that's a lot of times when I do star code activations and DNA activation, not so much the straight early DNA strands, but really get into those codes. A lot of them are light codes that are in the DNA that the light contains. So there's just so much consciousness in there that's available to us as we start playing with it. So rainbows to me, if you want to just translate it on a more mundane level, what are rainbows? When you see a rainbow, it's usually an indication that you're connecting with the non-physical realm on a deeper, lighter level, a higher frequency. If you see a rainbow in your reality, and my old version of myself would probably translate it that way. Oh, is there someone who's crossed over, who's around you that wants to connect with you, or some consciousness beyond that wants to connect with you? And that is true. So you play with that light. It's a wonderful way to awaken and transform.
Yeah, I love rainbows. I just, you know, they bring me so much joy when I see a rainbow. It just brings me to me, then back to my connection with source and spirit and creator, and it just lights me up.
Mm. So profound.
Yeah, it is. I will say there is we haven't really talked too much about conspiracy stuff, although we've touched on it a little bit. I will say there is a defect program, you could call it a virus or a defect program, that's been inserted. You know, we have to clear out a lot of these programs because there's a lot of negative alien programming to keep us trapped in the matrix, third dimensional reality, that needs to be cleared. And there's one about the rainbow bridge, which is designed to sort of lure you into death. And it's a corrupted program associated with the rainbow bridge. So, you know, it's this kind of like lure you into death, and it affects people who have suicidal tendencies and things. I don't know if it's really necessary to go there, but I'm a big proponent of identifying the corrupted programs as well and clearing them off. And most people don't know what those are, and they're not aware of them. And if people are afraid to look at conspiracy stuff, or if they're only in like a law of attraction movement, they won't want to look at that. They don't want to identify that. You know, like if someone's got suicidal tendencies, they've got an exit stage left program or a suicide program that's running. Usually smokers have a suicide program. People who get a terminal disease have a suicide, a death program, a death seal. And that can be cleared out. It's just like a bad virus on your computer. Right. It sometimes has other things in there. And these are nothing to be afraid of. It's just when you're in 3D, you think that it's part of normal life. It's normal that people do suicide. We have suicide prevention lines and suicide hotlines and, you know, all kinds of things to prevent suicide, but that's a normal part of life. We might say it's not normal, and it's not. But that's part of life on planet Earth in third dimensional reality. We deal with that. But in 5D, you realize, no, that's not, not only is it not normal, it's a corrupted program in the DNA that has to be cleared off. And when it's cleared off, and it might be a really gnarly program, it might, like I said, it's not just like, oh, just, you don't just snap your fingers. You got to get in there sometimes. It's like a spider web that's entangled something. But that and lots of other corrupted programs have to be cleared off. And a lot of times those corrupted programs are why people feel blocked from things too. Like, you know.
Interesting. We'll have to have another conversation about that. So there is a question from Caroline about, and she says, I keep hearing to ask for 144,000 layers when calling in rays of light, rainbow light. Can you speak on this?
Well, I mean, 144 is a really big buzz number in the spiritual community, and it's very significant in the sense that it's a number that's a code that helps us away. It's a code, it's codes of awakening. It also kind of signifies people in sacred numerology. Some people refer to the DNA as having 144 strands, which is true, even though some people believe it's more than that. And it depends on your unique coding, because the more you're here to do, typically the more coding you have. So 144 is relevant in that sense. 144 is really significant in terms of lining up the vesica pisces, which is a core pillar along your spinal cord, right? That connects from the brain to the spinal cord, to the base of the spine. And when we're working with the number 144, we could be working with that to line up. So there's untold ways to work with 144. 144 strands of DNA, 144 in sacred numerology, 144 as it relates to the codes in your DNA, as it relates to the spinal cord and your pillars along your spinal cord and your vesica pisces. It means a lot of things, but at least that's some of what it means, and I hope that makes sense.
Awesome, thank you. And so, and Lynn was asking, this is a different Lynn. Lynn was asking, how do we know if we have a death program and clear it before it starts to show up physically?
Well, you first of all, everybody has a death program. Everybody has it because in the physical reality, it's considered normal to die, and it's considered inevitable to die. And so everybody has it. A suicide program, which is what I think she probably means, is you know when someone has it because they either have suicidal tendencies or they get a terminal disease that typically even the terminal disease, they won't seek any sort of help outside of mainstream Western medicine, because mainstream Western medicine for terminal programs always leads to death. It does not lead, it really doesn't lead to, for the most part, it doesn't lead to healing. Western medicine has been hijacked. This is conspiracy stuff, but conspiracy is not a theory. Western medicine has been hijacked by the negative alien agenda to usurp the energy and life out of those beings, because the reptilian ancestors believe that they are disconnected from their source. They don't know how to, they're not in 5D yet, so they don't know how to replenish their own energy. So they're feeding off the energy and the life force and the suffering of those who are in 3D. They use the Western medical system to hide, they've hijacked it, and they've hijacked the schooling system. So I'm not suggesting that Western medicine's all bad, nor am I saying that doctors are bad. In fact, if I broke my leg, I would go to a doctor, although I won't break my leg because I understand what's at the root cause of breaking a leg. So you don't have to break your leg. You transcend that stuff. My point that I'm making, because I hope I didn't get too distracted, is how do you know if you have it? If you have a suicidal program, for example, you might go, let's say you have terminal cancer, and the only thing you do is go to a Western doctor, and this particular Western doctor tells you you have to do radiation and chemo, which will ultimately kill you. Mm-hmm. That's a suicide program. But a person who develops a terminal cancer who says, you know, I'm going to go to the doctors, I'm going to use that, but I'm also going to use spiritual healing. I'm also going to use meditation. I'm also going to go to this nutritionist. Okay, they might have a suicide program that's running, but somehow they're transcending it. And maybe some healer can identify it and clear it. You understand? So this is a complicated topic. I'm trying to address my best to address it in 5 minutes here, but it's more elaborate than we have time for. But at least hopefully that clears it, provides some kind of clarity on it, because with all of these kinds of complicated topics, they require deep exploration. Mm-hmm. And suicide programs can be cleared. But most of the time, when someone has it, they're not looking for it to be cleared.
Mm. Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah. And so, death programs are being cleared.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, if you do have a terminal disease, or it doesn't necessarily mean death. It, you know, there are many.
Doesn't mean you're going to die.
No, it doesn't. No.
It doesn't at all mean that. In fact, just that you've heard this means it can be, identified and cleared. The problem with people not being willing to look at conspiracy-related stuff, I cover all this in my dark arts training class. I cover all this in my Exiting the Matrix class. We go deep into this because the problem is that if people go down an all positives route, like law of attraction, only positives, and they become unwilling to look at this stuff, now they're in a state of denial or a state of ignorance, and you cannot clear something that you're ignorant to. You cannot clear something if you don't know it's there.
Yeah.
So you end up carrying it and perpetuating it. And that law of attraction movement, it's all like a dead end trap in that sense, because you won't know that this is there. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're hearing about it, to me, is just absolutely positive information, because with knowledge and wisdom, we can change it for the better.
Absolutely.
Nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's simply consciousness saying, look, here's the solution that you couldn't find before, that you didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Right. So
it's an answer to prayers. How do I help suiciders? Okay, here's the answer. Just came through my consciousness in this moment. I'm not the only one who knows it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. I mean, let's not even go there. But it's good to know that there is something that can clear that.
Yeah, let's just state this very clearly. This whole point of this information that's been delivered is coming for us to expand our consciousness, to find solutions to things that were never solvable before in third dimensional reality.
Yeah.
And so while some of them feel very upsetting, they do upset us. It's upsetting to learn about some of this stuff. And I deliver it like it's nothing, because I've worked so much. So I know that I trigger people, and I apologize if I have upset people, but the purpose is to expand consciousness so that we can find solutions to things that in the past we did not think we had solutions. If someone was prone to suicide in the past and we tried everything, I mean, people have been affected by suicide. And now if we realize that this exists and that this is something we never identified before in this example, and that it's possible to go after such a program, like a virus on a computer, and that there are people out here who know how to do it.
Yeah.
That can change the world. So even the same thing with the medical institution, it's not that it's all bad, and there's wonderful doctors doing the best that they can. But our medical institution is going to radically transform in the coming years for the better when people become conscious of the fact that they've been giving a lot of crappy, manipulated, non-beneficial information. Now, once we become conscious of it, this is going to change our medical institutions for the better. And it's not going to take that long. It's going to radically transform our medical industries. It already has started. So but please don't take it as negativity. Yeah.
Take it as absolutely
positive transformation.
I have to say, because, you know, just I have to say, if you do have a medical illness, disease, whatever, please go see your doctor. We, you know, this is just advice.
See your appropriate healthcare practitioner.
Healthcare practitioner.
Whatever that is for you.
Do what you need to do.
Take care of yourself. I would never suggest that you ignore
whatever
is your proper healthcare. Absolutely. So, always seek your highest.
So I did not go to the doctor for months and months and months until now. And I finally went for my shoulder. And now it's like, I have to see what we're going to do with it, you know, because I ignored it. So, it'll just go away. Oh, I'll just use some healing. I'm just taking on stuff from my mother, blah, 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 blah. I still have pain in my shoulder. So it's like, you know, got the x-rays.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a place for doctors. I'm not at all. I mean, I am grateful to doctors. When my doctor saved my dog's life when she had a snake. She was bitten by a rattlesnake in her eye. Oh. So we went to, we had Western healthcare. So I am not at all slamming that. I'm saying that this is in reform and it has been corrupted.
And so use all avenues, you know, do everything, do everything. I have a friend, I don't think she's on the call anymore, but she had cancer, but she went to, you know, she did more than just the medical stuff. She also did the alternative, you know, she did healing, Reiki and different juicing and all sorts of different tools and resources. And
That's holistic care.
Yeah.
She holistic care. Every moment. Absolutely.
And so do what works for you. Okay. So,
let's talk about the package.
Yeah. Let's look at the package. And then I wanted to do, Lori, after that, if we can, I just wanted to do some, activations if possible.
Yeah. We'll do some kind of soul reclaiming or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Marsha, I was talking about you. I didn't want to say your name. Marsha's saying, are you referring to me? It's like, yes, I was, but I didn't want to actually say her name out loud. Okay, so let's go. If you're on the live page, you can just click on special offer. Most of you are on the live page. If you're not, if you're on the email, just click on the email link. And so one thing I want to point out is that when you click on the link, whether it's in the email or from the website, you're going to have to use a code to purchase. Okay. So Lori's going to talk about the package and then the code is Awaken Now. Right, Lori?
N-O-W is capital. The A is capital and N-O-W is capital. So Awaken Now, one word.
Yeah. So the code is there on the button on the live page. The code is also there on the button in the email. So you can't miss it, but just don't forget it.
What's the link address that you gave them? The link I gave you, or did you?
It's hold on. I redirected it, right? But right now it'll, you know, it's still lorispagna.com/membership.
Okay. All right. So basically what this is it's an annual membership. There is well over, I mean, it's so much over. I should count up the hours of well over 100 hours of videos, audios, PDF ebooks, and even a full course on the secret energy of money and the spiritual laws of wealth, because lightworkers have such a big issue with that area. This full year membership has hundreds of hours, really. Hundreds of hours. It's way more than 100 of energy clearing, of meditations, of, classes and tutorials, of workshops, seminars, including things for people and animals, including topics of the Akashic Records, topics of animal communication and telepathy, topics of energy, topics of DNA activations, topics of the crystals and the crystalline grid. By the way, do you know why fracking exists?
Why?
Because fracking is designed to upset the crystalline grid.
Oh,
it's not at all about gas.
Mm. Oh, so
they're trying to upset. They can't. They're not. They can't do anything to upset it. There's a grid, right? There's a new grid
that
holds up all of the frequencies, and it gets charged by Source and the Son of God, activating that grid. So, fracking is designed to upset the grid so that people don't wake up and tune into this 5D grid. Nonetheless, okay, hundreds of hours on this these topics. You want to know about chakras, and you want to know about deactivating your chakras and understand about the fifth dimensional reality, why you don't need your chakras. You want to understand how to anchor into 5D. You want to do clearings, healings. This is so radical because it's literally, there's tons of stuff on ascension. There's tons of great content on archetypical patterns. See, a lot of times people don't understand. Maybe they feel like they've done everything to clear something, and they don't understand that they've got a pattern, an archetypical pattern of an inner critic. And the inner critic is locking in the illness, and they've done everything they could to clear it, or the behavioral problem, but they haven't learned a new pattern or how to replace an archetypical pattern, such as a critic, a voice of a critic. You have to know who's your inner family. You have an inner family. You have a wounded child or an ascended child. You have a parent, parental figures, a sage, a wise one, right? All these archetypical patterns are in us, and they're all having needs and wants and desires. You gotta learn how to work with those. This whole class on that. There's just so much content on sacred geometry, shifting out of 3D, navigating 4D, opening up your psychic gifts, moving beyond karma, aligning with your God self, all kinds of stuff about, there's stuff about the different rays, violet, of course the angels are in there, all the different angels. There's a whole class on sacred numerology. There's an entire class on the universal laws. Now, if you don't understand what the laws are, you can never move past 5D until you really move past. You can connect with fields beyond 5D, but you'll always be contained within the laws of the universe that exist on a sixth dimensional plane, because you have to work with those laws and be fully aligned with them so that you can really move past them and beyond them, right? These laws exist on a sixth dimensional plane to help us find our way as we shift out of a reality where we gave power to lawmakers who really don't care about helping us. So anyway, there's a whole class on the universal laws. There's a whole class on sacred numerology. There's so much consciousness in this annual sacred membership. There's a whole thing, all stuff on using the tube torus. I could go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Tons of stuff on the DNA, activating DNA. It's so rich and full. It's worth way more than the annual membership rate, which is $444. And, you know, of course, there's all those meditations and things in there, so you can use them ongoing and regularly. Anyway, the listed price there is $444 for the year-long membership. You have full access. You can log on through the website. You can download and own the content on your home computer. Anyway, but this coupon code gives you 50% off. 50 freaking percent off. It's just, it's a lifetime of learning and healing in here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm amazed that I charged so little, actually.
There's so much
information. Tons of stuff on the ET races. You want to know about the star families? There's classes all about the star families.
And exactly.
Learning about the laws. I said all of it. There's tons of theta healing, Reiki healing for people, for animals. Because I have so many modalities that I've developed over the years. So, yeah. So that's it. It's a year-long membership. You get to access it as often and whenever you want over the course of the year. The regular price, which is way underpriced, is $444. It's easily valued at thousands and thousands of dollars. If you would like to purchase it today through this summit and you'd like to expand on your consciousness, everything we've been discussing, build and develop your gifts and learn about this and heal and resolve things and do the energy healing, DNA activations, really don't just do the spiritual bypassing, but actually apply the work and do the inner work. This is the website. This is the place to do it. And the code for 50% off today is Awaken Now, capital A, all one word, Awaken Now, N-O-W is also capitalized. And you save 50% off the annual subscription rate.
So please do take a look at it. Like I said, it's not just information, but it's also clearings and healings and classes, you know, so and it's not just for beginners. It's also for those of us who've been doing this for a long time.
All levels. I have people who tell me all the time that how much it has transformed their lives, that they, even when they have times where they feel down or challenged or upset or whatever they might be going through, they might put something on and it immediately just really changes things. There's something in there called healing the stickiest stuff ever, where you work with the stuff that you feel like you've done everything on, and it's specifically designed to help you on that. There's tons of stuff on third eye, opening your third eye. Oh, and you know, 10%, yeah, actually more than 10% of everything that comes in gets donated. I always donate more than 10%. I am a big tither. In fact, the whole class on the secret energy of money that's in there, it's a whole course. The course itself is worth $500. It's got a ebook and healing in it. It's really great stuff because I want it to be available, and also because I don't want it to just sit in the archive somewhere. Yeah. So anyway, that course talks about tithing and how important that is for abundance and wealth and prosperity. And ultimately, the purpose of taxes is to get people to tithe. Eventually, taxes will go away when people understand how important tithing is. But anyhow, I tithe. I always tithe at least 10% or more. And this will 10% will be donated to conscious, not-for-profit services, service-oriented people and organizations. Especially, I tend to lean toward animal-loving organizations, but mm-hmm. I donate all the time to healers and intuitives and people like myself who are out there really doing amazing work and making stuff like this that's worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for practically nothing.
Practically not. That's what you know, when we talk about doing the work, this is part of doing the work, doing the learning, doing the research. I mean, I read every day and I do healing work on myself every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm always expanding my consciousness more and more and more. And luckily, you know, in these calls, I get to do it, you know, as well, yeah. Which is awesome.
I will say with you, Alara, I have seen over the years, I know how much you have done. I can see. Oh. And just sense the difference. You have really made, I mean, we all have, but you really have made so much progress.
Mm-hmm. I have. So much
leaps and bounds.
Not always easy.
Your own evolution.
Right? I did a lot of the shadow work, and there were times when the shadow was a little bit stronger than me, you know, so I, you know, had those times. But, you know, you continue, you keep doing the work. So Caroline is asking, are these classes that are pre-recorded, or are there any coming up in the year to come? So do you add more classes and courses or MP3s to it?
Yeah. I believe it was in the month of October, or else it was September. I just added like another at least 50 hours of content. I mean, it was so, that's why I have to recount it, because it's way more than 100.
Yeah,
I do. I add and I update to it. And the next thing I'm going to be adding, I mean, I just added new stuff. So there's tons of new stuff in there. But what I want to be adding in next is some more meditations. Mm-hmm. There's great meditations in there, but it's just meditations are so awesome. And as we like to meditate more, it's nice to not have to do the same thing every day. And I have so many, there's all kinds of different kinds of meditations. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
They all do different kinds of things. And sometimes, I mean, I'm a kind of person, I take my Fridays off, and I could do like a 3-hour meditation on a Friday and still at the end of 3 or even more hours feel like I could keep going, you know, but I want to get on with other things in life. But mm-hmm. It's nice to have all different kinds, because sometimes you want an hour long and sometimes you want a 15 minutes and sometimes you have to do some, it just, you know, sometimes you want to focus on some area. Sometimes you want to do something else. It's just all kinds of great meditation. So I want to add more, but
I love meditations. You know, I love the guided meditations myself. I mean, that's what I do constantly in my own programs as well. You know, we do journeys and processes
and
you know, guided meditations. I love that. Whereas when I was first starting out on this path long, long time ago, I didn't like guided. I was like into the total silence, just leave me be, you know, Zen, totally Zen, total silence, total darkness, total everything. Now, I love doing guided meditations.
Right.
It's just so interesting how we evolve, right?
Yeah, you just shift. And it's nice when you have like a choice. Like sometimes I want to do this. Sometimes, I mean, there's some forgiveness ones in there that are just really nice. But, you know, there's some people who have gotten really far along on their journey feel like they have nothing left to forgive. And to them, I say, really? Maybe you need to forgive planet Saturn for some of this crap it's pulling on people. Did you ever think about forgiving a planet? Like, I mean, I've done so much forgiveness. This summer, I did my own forgiveness meditations with TSA. I mean, yeah, you know, you just, there's all kinds of, but anyway, sometimes you don't feel like you have anything to forgive. You want to just work with crystals. I want to do a whole new meditation with the crystals because that's my thing. I do these sacred journeys to Arkansas. We go dig with the crystals. We're connecting with the crystals. We're working with the crystalline grid. We're using conscious. What's that?
Nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh my God. We had so much fun last time. And next time it's going to be even better because I did learn from the first one. That, like, for example, I didn't teach etiquette on that first one. And people do want that. So, you know, there's just a lot of things. Well, anyway, I want to do a crystal meditation in that. I'm going to add. So awesome. It's a great membership and it is always evolving and updating just like consciousness is. And because I'm doing so much work and I love it. And I think sometimes I do stuff. I'm like, this is so good. I got to put it in the membership.
Yes. So. Awesome. Thank you. And you know, and it is, it's an amazing offer. So much information, so many healings, so many clearings, so like it's life changing. So please do take a look at it, take advantage of it, you know? So let's do an activation. What do you want to do, Lori? You said reclaiming parts of your soul.
I'm just going to ask.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how much time do we have?
As much as you want. I'm good.
All right. Well,
normally I'd be done by now, but you know, my butt.
I don't want to get too much longer, but let's at least go for a good 10 minutes at least. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
10, it might end up being longer than that. So let's just, for everyone who wants to participate, understand it always serves you best if you actively participate. If you passively participate, it just not as good, right? Whenever we're 100% involved. So if you want to participate, this is entirely based on free will choice. And if you do, you want to start breathing, you know, stop what you're doing. This is not a time, if you want to receive the full benefits, to be multitasking. So stop what you're doing, assuming that you're able to. And allow yourself to start connecting in with the heart center. So what does that mean? Start to take some really deep, rich, full breaths. Allow the breath. Start to recognize that the true breath, the deep breath, are initiated in the belly. So the belly starts to expand. The chest opens up. And then the throat expands. And suddenly the nose is engaged as it pulls in breath. And begin to identify this breath as the breath of love, and that this breath is expanding in and through you as you breathe it in, and you're allowing this breath of love to open up all aspects of your physicality. So you're relaxing into the breath of love. And as you're breathing this breath of love, of course, your eyes will close comfortably for you whenever you're ready, as you're ready. And you start to let your mind and all your consciousness drop into the heart. So you're hearing my throat, my voice. You're breathing this breath of love. And you start to notice you can drop down all your thoughts, all your thinking, all aspects of you into your heart in as little as 10 seconds, just a few seconds. It's like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. By the time I reach 1, just drop all into the heart. Feel every aspect of you drop into your heart. In the core of your heart, in the depth of your heart, in the deepest resource of your heart, in there, all of your consciousness resides. Everywhere else it resides too. But just let yourself drop into that heart so that everything you're hearing, feeling, sensing, now you just keep dropping into the heart. So you dropped so deep into your heart, if any part of you starts to feel like you're coming out of your heart, just drop back down into the heart. Breathe some more love in there. Deep, deep down into the center of your heart. Now we're going to work with some sacred numbers today. This is what Source is saying. We're going to connect up the core pillar of your body and being. So as you're dropping into your heart, as you're breathing this love into your heart, let's just start to drop down now. Feel yourself dropping deeper and deeper into your heart, no matter what I say. In the core of your being, the core of the center of your being, in the core of your heart, we're going to line this core of your being up with all of your major chakra centers, energy centers, which really you don't need your chakras in 5D, but let's just line you up perfectly, right? So base is lined up with the reproductive center, lined up with the belly center, lined up with the core of your being and the core of your heart, lined up with your throat center, lined up with your brain center, lined up with the top of your crown. There's no way to do this wrong. You're just simply dropping into your heart center. And as you do, and as I am speaking it, Divine Source Creator God is allowing for it as you participate and give consent. Giving consent is as simple as breathing in love and saying yes, thank you in your mind and dropping deeper into the core of your heart. So all of these core of your energy centers, base of your buttocks, reproductive center, belly center, heart center, throat center, center of your brain, top of your brain, now all lined up in perfect alignment with the core of your heart, the core of your being. Now with all the 144 pillars of the alignment from your base of your buttocks to the top of your brain center, now all lined up, 144 lining up perfectly in the core of your heart, all lined up with the core of your being, perfectly aligned. Nothing for you to do, just drop into the core of your heart, take a breath and say, yes, thank you, if you're willing to receive it. Yes, thank you, or yes, please, that's all you need to do. Good, now taking it to the next level, the core of your heart, the core of your being, lining up perfectly, all of your energy centers lined up perfectly, and all 144 of the pillars of your spinal cord lined up perfectly now. Next, lining up with the center of the solar system. Lining up now the core of your being with the center of the solar system, the Son of God, lining you up perfectly fine, well, good, and divine. Nothing for you to do, just drop into your heart center, take a deep breath of love, and give your consent if you so give it, simply by breathing in, yes, thank you, or yes, please, and drop into the heart center. Allow it to be so, as Divine Source does it, it is done. Let me get out of the way here. Nice, good. As you now are aligned with the core of your being and the core of the solar system, so we shall align next with the core of this Milky Way galaxy. Lining up now the core of your heart, the core of your being with the core of the Milky Way galaxy in perfect alignment. All is well, good, right, perfect, fine, well, good, and divine. Drop into your heart center. Allow it to be so. If you do give consent, you simply breathe in some love and say yes, thank you, or yes, please. Nice, good. Now, as the core of your being is lined up in the core of your heart, the core of your center being, the core of the solar system, the core of the Milky Way galaxy, the next, we will line up now with the core of our universe. The center of your universe, the center of our universe, perfectly aligned, well, good, and divine. Breathe it in and allow for it to be so. You're coming into perfect alignment, perfect and divine, perfectly good, well, fine, and divine. All it is well, good, fine, and divine. Drop down into your heart center. If you give your consent, breathe, receive, and allow, you simply say yes, thank you, and then drop deeper into your heart, the core of your heart. Trust and allow and know. In the core of your heart, all there is pure perfection. Nice. Center of your universe, now perfectly aligned with the core of your heart and the core of your being. Now lining up with the center of the omniverse. If you're willing to allow it, make it so. You simply breathe, receive, and allow. Breathe in some love. And the core of your being is now coming into perfect and divine alignment with the center of the omniverse. The omniverse is lining up, aligned with you, perfectly fine, well, good, and divine. Drop into the heart center, allow it to be so. This includes the multiverses that exist within the omniverse. As you breathe and allow, give consent, it is done. Now, as you're feeling and aligning yourself perfectly well, good, fine, and divine, aligned in the core center of your being, in the core center of your heart, perfect gold alignment coming in. Now, this is not golden light. This is gold. Perfect, pure gold. The energy of gold, actual gold, surrounding the multitude of all that you are, the soul that you are. But right before it does, Source is saying one more piece. I'm listening in the moment. It says, wait, one more piece. Hold on. Okay, good. I'm sorry. It wants to reclaim all your soul fragments, all aspects of your fragmented soul, all aspects of you that have been fragmented on other timelines, other dimensions, other realities, all fragmented parts of your consciousness, all fragmented parts of your soul, all aspects of your personality self and other aspected fragmented aspects of yourself, which maybe have been hijacked in other timelines, other realities, other dimensions. All of those now are being reclaimed home to you, restoring now for you single soul occupancy within your core vessel, your core vehicle, which is now perfectly finely aligned. As you are restored home to you, reclaiming these fragmented aspects of you home to you into your core pillar and reunionized with you, reunioned home to you in your core as a single soul occupant, reclaiming these aspects of you, this single soul occupancy within you, liberated from the fragmented parts of you, reclaimed home to you, realigned with you as they are. First, they are now cleansed, blessed, bathed, purified, harmonized, and divinitized in the love and light of divine source, creator God, and return to you with the gifts of consciousness back home to you, perfectly fine, well, good, and divine, aligned within you, the pure perfection of you, and the originating source within you, within your core, within your heart, within you, and the totality of you. If you're willing to receive this now, simply breathe in that infinite love and give a yes, thank you, or yes, please. And as I get out of the way, this will be done. Yes. Understand this is only as is uniquely appropriate to you as a unique individualized body and being, and only as is for your highest and best. All soul fragments returning home to you, reunifying now. Cleansed, blessed, bathed, purified, harmonized, and divinitized in the love and light of divine source, creator, God of all that is. And now awakened from within you. Your consent, breathe, receive, allow. Thank you. This is done. Now we put the gold around. There's nothing for you to see or perceive. It's just done by the creator of all that is. Perfect, pure gold, the alchemy containing within you. As it is, containing you, containing all of your essence that has now been returned to you and reawakened from within you. This perfect, pure gold is holding you, the totality of your body and being within this perfect, pure gold. Surrounding this perfect, pure gold, this perfect, pure platinum. Perfect, pure platinum, not light, pure, perfect platinum, containing your entire morphogenetic field within it, the totality of you, perfectly aligned, perfectly well, good, fine, and divine, and restored to your original sovereign being, your original single soul occupancy, the soul of you in your core being. This platinum is now surrounded by perfect, pure, crystalline energy. The Christ consciousness and the crystalline being within you is contained within this. It is perfect, pure structure of perfection. Breathe, allow, and consent as you do. You simply say yes, thank you, or yes, please. Contained in your own unique sort of embryo of sorts, and yet it is a birthing and a rebirthing that has been done time and time again and will be done once more for you. Whenever the time is right, as you listen to this recording and replay, so it is. Good, nice, beautiful. Now, just before you come out of this meditation, this healing, whatever we call it, however we define it, one last piece to remember, and that is this. The essence of who you are can never leave you, can never be taken from you. and can never be transported from within you. It can simply be awakened from within you, where it has been all along and where it always shall be. So in any moment, whenever you may feel or perceive that you might have lost something, remember the core of you is always within you, and all you need to do is reclaim it and reunify with it, because it's been there all along and it always will be there, always eternal, forever waiting for you, always available to you. It will never be taken from you and it'll never leave you. It's there and it has been all along. As you reawaken and reemerge and begin to open your eyes and reclaim your physical form, totally physically alive and well, know this: no one has combined energies with you. You have simply recalled, reclaimed that which was within you all along and restored yourself perfectly in this perfection of your own unique form. Know this to be so as it is so, and so it is done. Nice. Woohoo. How are we doing?
Good. I feel good. How's everyone doing? I feel really good.
Like 12 hours of sleep. Me too.
I know. I feel so energized and but relaxed, you know, like not tired, but yeah, it was great. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Peaceful. And buzzing.
Yeah, I can never really talk afterwards, you know, so it's like, that's why I was like, yeah, if somebody wants to share so that I can come back to being fuzz.
Well, I can say a little fuzzy. More because I personally feel really good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why I do this work so often, because I love it.
And, yeah, that's Marcus said that brought tears to my eyes. It felt great. Yeah, me too. I was like, yeah, I had tears as well.
That was a nice little channeled information at the end, right?
Yes, it was very
nice. Like that. I love when I get a little channeling that comes through at the end, because it always feels like just this message of love.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, it was beautiful. Very empowering, very inspiring, very... it's like you feel whole and complete, you know?
What we just did, one thing I do, I can tell people as we, you know, get ready to say goodnight for the evening. What I can say is we just did a lot of integration there. So, you know, as with all healing, most of the time don't really know how profoundly it helps you in the moment. You sometimes typically will feel better and feel nicer and relaxed. And sometimes there's yawning or twitching or eyes tearing or different kinds of experiences. But the real benefits just started from what we just did. And a lot of times you don't know until later. Sometimes it's weeks or months later even. But it always makes a difference. So, you know, let it integrate. And, you know, what we really did was we called back parts of you that were just fragmented from you. So you're reunifying who you are. Now, does the brain suddenly know what that is? No, because if some part of you is so fractal, you're completely unconscious about it, and you called it back home, your brain hasn't even made sense of that yet. You're still in la-la land if you really went into the meditation with us. So let the results continue to serve you. They will. And allow it, you know, just without any particular attachment to how it unfolds. Mm-hmm. But what I would recommend, and you've probably heard this a gazillion times before, please do drink water, rest, be gentle, and completely eliminate toxic television, including war, fighting, and brainwashing on the news from your repertoire. That should not be, in my opinion, not ever taken in. I don't think there's any need for it anymore. Even when people say they look at it and they're doing healing on it, really your higher consciousness knows exactly what you need to heal without having to put toxic stuff into you. Mm. So I would eliminate that completely, especially on nights like this, because that was actually a big thing we did. So sleep on it, drink lots of water, give gratitude, let it work for you. And other than that, I think it's time for us to bring close. Yeah. I will say, if you want more of that, there's lots more of that in the membership. And you will, if you liked that, there's that and so much more. Just
exactly. If you like that, that was just a taste, like 10 minutes, maybe. I don't even know. But there's so much more in the package. So please do take a look at it and especially get it at the 50% off price. So use the code. Don't forget to use the code. Awaken now. And yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much, Lori. And it's not just the meditation that we did, just this whole conversation. I'm sure it has expanded the consciousness of everyone, you know, and that's what, you know, my work is all about. It's like, how can we inspire you and empower you to transform your life and transform your consciousness, you know, for yourself and for the planet and for all of humanity. So that was, yeah, a lot of information, a lot of different things that we talked about. Some maybe new to you, some were new to me. So you might have to go back and watch it again or listen to it again.
I'm so glad you said some of it was new to you, because that makes, you know, listen, this is the thing. It's really true. What I'm offering is a range of frequency. So even if the left brain can't make logical sense of it in the moment, or it's new, or it was like too much, or, oh, cause for sometimes it is, it's like, and you, I know it happened a couple of times on this call, cause I kind of heard it like, okay, they fogged out on that. I get it, because I'm like sort of semi-channeling information here. I go off on my tangent and my brain steps out too. So, you know, most of that's all semi-channeling because it's coming through me, but it's not my logical brain analyzing, speaking it, you know, in a logical left linear way. But the point is, you're getting a range of information that you're attuning to. So even if you feel like you don't understand it, you will attune to it, especially if you listen to it in replay. And a lot of times people tell me they have to listen to my stuff more than once. I've listened to sometimes things where I was like, well, I got to listen to that again. That's new to me.
Exactly.
And I don't usually get my information in a third dimensional way that way, but I usually access it all from consciousness. But there's been times when I've done that. And so it's not wrong. Like, listen to it again if you feel like you need to. That's the beauty of your summit.
It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on the podcast. And, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it was lots of ways for you to re-listen to it again. So,
and that meditation with the healing is accessible now. When you put that, that's a real service. You put that on YouTube, that's a really big service.
Awesome. So thank you so much again, Lori. And thank you everyone for your questions.
Thank you so much. Thanks for everybody who participated and gave us your feedback and shared. Yeah. Love you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone. And so until next time, may you continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, prosperity, and radiant health. And sending you all much love and blessings today and always. Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye.
Bye for now.